Support for this podcast comes from Ally Bank. NPR keeps people in the know. So does Ally. Customers can talk to a real person any time of day or night. Learn more at allybank.com.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. What does it take to get the little things correct? Today's conversation is not about life's vast moral and ethical conundrums, but about the petty details and minor courtesies that end up having a major impact on how we feel at the end of every day and on the impression we leave on our fellow citizens. Joining us for it is Joshua Belter, an air traffic controller by day and singer by night, who also found the time to write a quirky little guide called The Book of Rules, The Right Way to Do Everything. Joshua, welcome to Think.
Well, thank you very much. Good afternoon, Chris. How are you today?
Good. Why is it that we devote all this time to talking about politics and the grand issues of life, but in the end, it really is the little stuff that has such a big impact on how we feel at any given time?
Well, it is the little things, and they are cumulative, and those little things can really make or break your day. So many things in life just kind of add up over time. And affects our interactions with others.
So you were at your mom's house and the old debate came up over which way to roll the toilet paper. Is that really where this came from?
I was. That was a number of years ago, about 15 years ago. But this the entire project was inspired about 15 years ago when, as a young man in my 20s, married with two kiddos at the time, literally heard my full legal name screamed from the other room.
I know how that goes, yeah.
And I wondered, what had I done? Had I broken a lamp? Had I knocked over an antique piece of furniture? And I came to find out that I had put the toilet paper on wrong in the bathroom. And she wasn't mad. She was smiling. But she was quite serious that that was something that she liked to have done that way. Mm-hmm. And it really got me thinking after that, how many things in life aren't right or wrong. They're not illegal or immoral, but just the way that we think that they should be. And boy, for several years after that, it really hit me hard about how many things in life are like that, mm-hmm. that we just want it done this way. 4 or 5 years ago, what really sparked the book, my son and I were leaving from a Davenport, Iowa Walmart, and a young mother pushing a baby stroller pushed her carriage out in the middle of the street, and cars in both directions had to slam on the brakes and stop, and she didn't even break her stride. She just kept on marching by, and my son looked at me and said, you know, Dad, there should be a rule about that. We all know that common sense dictates that you should look both ways before you cross the street, but I think those two things were the two inspirations for writing the Book of Rules.
I thought it's interesting because you are an air traffic controller. That's how you earn your living. There's a lot in here about just navigating our way, say, through a shopping mall. And it does seem like traffic patterns ought to apply, like we ought to walk on the right and stop in the middle and pass on the left.
Well, it does. And in fact, the entire project is based on the Air Traffic Controller Manual, which is called the 7110.65, the original title of the
7110.65. Everybody
correct.
Write this down.
7110.65. Get your copy today. But the original title of this book was The Book of Rules, The Definitive Guide to Living Life, 94.7 Alpha. I thought that it had to have a number. The number, as well as a few other things, didn't make it through the final cut with the publisher. Mm-hmm. But the structure of this book, and just glancing at it, looks very similar to the Air Traffic Control Manual, where you've got plane A and plane B needs so much separation at this point in the sky or this situation.
All right, so what do I do with my grocery cart when I am shopping and I need to pause and look over how much it is to buy fresh pears or something? Where do I put that cart?
Well, I think just to, there are so many shopping. It seems like shopping and driving were the two most popular ones, and I've interviewed literally hundreds of people on this, and it seems like driving and shopping were the ones that people had at most, biggest passion with. I think with shopping, the big thing is just to get your cart out of the way. Mm-hmm. That's one of the five or six things that I thought about when starting this project was shopping, actually. And I think just to get your cart out of the way and not to stop in the middle of the aisle.
It does seem there are two different kinds of people. And it's not that everybody doesn't occasionally get into a fugue state and stop noticing what's going on. But there are people who are really conscious of their physical presence in the world and how they might be blocking other people. And then there are people who don't. They're not trying to be offensive. They just really don't notice.
Absolutely. And I think that's a big purpose of this book in a small way. And admittedly, I think it'll be a small way. But in a small way, I'd like to make a difference with this book. I think there are a lot of people that just don't know that they're doing something offensive. One of the big things for me was the young children with the roller skates in Walmart, mm-hmm. in the grocery store, in the department store, with kids skating around you. And almost everything in the book was done as a consensus of literally hundreds of interviews. And I think that's one of the things that I'm trying to convey with this book of what the consensus is, not necessarily right or wrong. And it is all very debatable, obviously. But to relate what the consensus is of the right way to do everything.
Well, it's interesting here because so much of this, I mean, in some ways it could almost be called an etiquette book because it's really about being courteous to other people and sort of realizing what's out there. I thought the section on restaurants was interesting as well because you say, you know, you talk about the amount we should tip and you say if a tip is really low, we have to explain why and not just walk out in a huff.
Correct. And I mentioned three areas in the book that we're encouraged to splurge monetarily. Those that prepare one's hair, those that prepare or bring your food, and of course the premium toilet paper, which inspired the whole book to begin with. And I really wanted to make a point to take care of the people that take care of us. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the most important things of the book is to talk about how to tip appropriately. I think that the wait staff and those that do things for us are often really underappreciated.
And if we ask for one of those split checks, which are good for those at the table and maddening for the wait staff, we ought to bump up the tip a little bit.
I think so. And there's numerous circumstances. I tried to focus a little bit on children specifically. I thought about devoting a whole chapter to children, but I think that many different situations, if your children are unruly or messy or splitting the tip, I think that is a reason to take care of our waitstaff.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. You can also send email to think@kera.org. We would love to know your little rules for life as well. Maybe they agree with Joshua Belcher's, maybe they don't, but we would be curious to know what you think. I like this one. The staff at a restaurant should only be summoned to make a fuss over someone's birthday and clap and sing and put on a silly hat with the permission of the person being celebrated.
With the permission, and so many of the regulations in the book have a little side story, and I think we all have been there when someone was made a fuss over and didn't want it, and mm-hmm. were truly embarrassed and angry, and that's the intent of that one there, is to get permission first before you have the five-part band come over and announce their name on a loudspeaker in front of everyone and their brother.
It's funny that there are certain ways that people find to embarrass other people that they don't really care. It's almost funny for everyone else at the table. And the person who somehow feels the center of this is just dying.
True. And I think that's, again, back to letting people know what the consensus is of what the right way to do this would be. And I think the right way would be to get their permission in this case before you do make a fuss over them.
So let's talk about attire. You have this this category of apparel known as teen wear that is not appropriate. I mean, I'm in my 40s. We'll just say not appropriate for someone my age. What qualifies as teen wear that people over a certain point should not wear?
Well, that started my son, Jonathan Belter, who is on the Book of Rules Regulatory Board, which is an actual organization that reviews the submissions that come from the fans and the readers and so on, has worked at Abercrombie mm-hmm. In the upscale clothing store in the mall. And a lot of that teen wear you often see worn by people older that should be wearing that. And that's kind of where that came from. But that includes the baggy pants. And I think the way that I wrote it in the book was any clothing sold at a clothing location where the music is played at a level louder than 90 decibels or higher.
Yeah, it's almost like you should get carded before walking into those places in case you're too old, in the same way that people get carded walking into a bar in case they're too young.
Correct. And one little addition I forgot to add to that was where the cologne could be smelled from several hundred feet away in the mall.
That should just be a rule that no one should wear anything stronger. And do you say this in the book, right? 6 feet away or something? Do you have a...
Correct. 6 feet away for the perfume. Yes.
That's a reasonable amount. Yeah. You really don't want people knowing that you've been there 10 minutes after you've left the room.
Correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. So when you started polling people about this, did you find that most people just kind of laugh about it? Or were there certain topics here that you cover that, that people were really passionate about?
I had every range, and still do. I have every range of, I have a lot of people that are completely convinced that I'm way off base on one or the other. And one notable exception is the toilet paper. In general, everything in the book is the consensus of at least hundreds of people over the last several years, except for the toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fair to note that about 75% of people like to have the toilet paper advancing with sheets from the top of the roll, but to be fair to my mother, who inspired the whole book, I had to have it mom's way.
Yeah, it's funny. I'm an over the top girl. Our family is that way, and there's no justification in there. So I figured there must be some kind of personal preference at work.
No, there really isn't a justification when you talk to people that are quite passionate either way, either the way that you like it, and 75% of the American population does, or the other way. There really is no justification. Just it looks better. And that's pretty much all that I ever get on that.
Joshua Velter is here. His book is called The Book of Rules, The Right Way to Do Everything. You can get to us at 1-800-933-5372 or via email to think@kera.org. Email here from Kristen says, I can't understand why some people apologize for walking around you in the aisle of the grocery store. I've noticed this for the past 10 years. This was never done in my youth. Never. You have to pass people in the aisle. You aren't trying to block their shopping view. Am I crazy?
I don't think so. I think, and again, shopping is one of the two parts of this book. For whatever reason, it is driving and shopping, the two that people are most passionate about, that there should be a rule about one or the two, one or the other. And I think you do need your personal space in that. I'd like to add, I'm working on the next book right now in the franchise, which will be the Book of Rules of Relationships, which is more about people. And the Book of Rules is more about things and procedures. But I think in some way I'm going to have to add driving and shopping to the Book of Rules of Relationships somehow and address some more of these issues that were omitted from the Book of Rules. But,
well, how many relationships have been ruined over driving, arguments over driving and shopping?
That's very true, especially with the commute.
My parents tell a story when they were first married, or before they were married, actually. My mother spilled a milkshake in my father's brand new Camaro, and that almost the end of it. There was almost no Chris Boyd and no Laura and Maureen, but they got over it somehow. 1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. We have an email here from Althea who writes, the only determinant of the direction of a toilet paper roll is where the holder is placed on the wall. If you have to, this is interesting. If you have to twist your wrist or dislocate your shoulder to turn the roll, it is on the holder wrong, no matter which way someone thinks is correct. Obviously, Althea has given this one some thought.
Now, is that referencing to the left or to the right, or whether the sheets come over from the top or the bottom?
And there's a question of handedness. You know, are you right-handed or left-handed? I don't know. We'll have to, maybe there will be a follow-up email. 1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go to Paul in Arlington. Hey, Paul.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Great, thank you.
Very good, very good. I was actually calling. I'm really excited about this book. I'm looking forward to looking into it a little further. I'm a sociology student at the University of Texas in Arlington, and a couple of years back, I took a trip to Scotland and studied overseas for a while, and I met quite a few street musicians, and I found the culture of street musicians rather intriguing, so I spent quite a bit of time chatting with them, and a lot of them seemed to unanimously say that they would travel around Europe in order to make their living based on, you know, what season for tourists in which location and things like that,
mm-hmm.
But many of them unanimously stated that the United States was a difficult place for street musicians to survive because we as Boosons, people who live in the United States, don't tip appropriately.
Huh.
And I was curious if your guest might have anything to comment on that, and just to say thanks again for the topic.
Thanks for calling. We're going to take a break now. Maybe we can get a response for you from Joshua Velter after the break. Our telephone number is 1-800-933-5372, or you can email think@kera.org.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies, a multidisciplinary program that allows you the intellectual freedom to design your own master's degree. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is air traffic controller, singer, and author Joshua Belter. His new book is called The Book of Rules, The Right Way to Do Everything. Our number is 1-800-933-5372, or you can join us via email to think@kera.org. And Joshua, the book is in hard copy. It's also available on Kindle, and for like the next few days, you can get it for free on Kindle.
That's correct. It's the Father's Day promotion on Amazon to help us kind of get the word out that the Kindle version of the book will be free through, I believe, Sunday. So there will be a free version of the book out for another couple of days.
What dad doesn't love a free present? That's perfect.
Well, and that was kind of the publisher's idea to do this little promotion to kind of help get the word out a little bit. And it's helping. I'm starting to get a lot more reviews with the project, so it is helping to get the word out quite a bit.
Any hate mail so far?
A little bit. Again, it is everything in the book is intentionally debatable. You know, I didn't want to put anything in the book that says, you know, you don't smack your friend in the fist.
Well, let's hope we can agree on that. Yeah,
but everything is debatable on there. So yeah, I have had a couple of reviews saying that. I don't agree with this. I don't agree with that. But I think that's great. I mean, I think that's the intent of this, is to spark discussion so that people talk about it, and to do it with humor and a lot of humor as well. So it's not a dry read about simply manners, but to do it with humor. And I think that it's important that people talk about it. I tried to market this as a water cooler talk about at work the next day book, where people can discuss that. I think that this, he's way off base on this, and he needs to add this over there. And this is an evolving type document. It's more of a constitution as opposed to a Bible that, the second edition, third editions will be.
You can amend it if necessary.
Correct. And again, as technology changes too, it's necessary, specifically with the multimedia, with social networking and so on, that the rules change with the times.
Hold that thought, because there's lots of good cyber stuff to talk about here. But to go back to Paul's point before the break, Americans are bad tippers, according to Scottish buskers. You're a musician yourself.
Have you had any
experience with this?
And Paul, that was a great question. I have done what either you or your friends were doing, of just playing on the street corner in Santa Fe or Seattle, as well as playing a lot of bigger venues as well. But I think that street musicians are often an underrated commodity of a city. I think that that adds a lot of charm. And I think the rule on that, although it's not in the book, I think the rule should be, if you stop and listen to a song, then I think that that you should put something in the tip jar or the guitar case. I think that that would be a good addition to the book.
We have an email here from Steve in Dallas who writes, "I find it annoying that all of my appliances insist on my attention. The microwave, when completed cooking, beeps until I tramp in to cancel it. The clothes dryer sings for a full 2 minutes to remind me it's finished its work. Any comment on how we have automated ourselves to distraction? My new dishwasher will not stop beeping until we open it and unload it."
There is a lot of noise in this, and I hate to say this here, but I think that I like those beeps because I'm kind of forgetful. I think there is one in the book that when my father comes out to visit, he disables a lot of the beeps and the sensors and everything, and I find that whenever he goes home, I find that I don't remember putting my coffee in the microwave.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go to Diana in Dallas. Hey, Diana.
Hi there. Joshua, I find it really annoying when I am running in my neighborhood on the sidewalk and someone is walking towards me and they're walking one or two dogs, little dogs, big dogs, either way. And instead of them scooting over, maybe putting their dogs on the grass so that I can pass by, they expect me as a person to get on the grass so that they can continue walking their dogs down the sidewalk. And I wonder what you think about that.
Gosh, what a great rule. I'd never thought about that before, but I like it, though. I think if you have several dogs and you're taking up a huge amount of space, I think that maybe you should get out of the way for someone that's just jogging down the sidewalk. That's a good comment.
Humans have the right of way.
Humans have the right of way over dogs. So yes.
We have an email here. I knew this one would catch on. Toilet paper should roll under if you have a cat, which I suppose makes sense because otherwise they bat at the paper and make a big mess all over.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have any choice or leeway but to go the one way with the toilet paper. It's got to be from underneath.
Well, don't get a cat.
But certainly if you have a cat, I can see that where they would make a big mess. I wonder if that had actually happened before. I happen to have a cat as well, and that has not happened to me yet.
That's because you have the rolling under.
That's true. That is true.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go to Bill in Dallas. Hey, Bill.
Hi. In a retail situation, each customer has an area of personal space, like in the aisles. And a lot of people become very uncomfortable, and they leave the store without buying. And that's because there needs to be, for this personal space, a minimum amount of space behind one's derriere. And that's when people don't feel comfortable being too close or passing people too closely in an aisle.
So, Bill, how much space should that be?
I don't really know the exact how many feet or whatever, but people in marketing know this, that they'll observe the aisle width and behavior of people and whether or not they stay long enough in the store. If they're uncomfortable with the amount of personal space they have inside a store, they'll leave without buying.
So something stores ought to think about, enough space to move around your fellow shopper?
That is a really good point. I'm kind of wondering because just about everything in the book has got a joke to go with it. I'm trying to wonder how I can make a pun or a joke about personal space. Are you kind of...
Let's leave that one alone. Talk about parking, because this is a huge issue. I think, you know, in this part of the country, lots of people have very large vehicles and lots of establishments have very small parking spaces that say compact car only. And you have a 10-inch rule.
True. And in addition to that, people that have the bigger trucks, I think I mentioned in there that you have the option to park farther away from the entrance and take up a couple of spaces as well. But boy, that is terribly frustrating. I'd like to think that I don't have a lot of road rage, but I do have a little parking rage when there's not a parking spot and you've got three or four people with a nice car that have basically taken two spots because they're parked over the line.
What about when we come to a red light that suddenly turns green and the person at the front of the line has not noticed?
That's one of the first of the book, and that is a specific type of honk called the green light honk that you have to give them a couple of seconds, and you're required to give them a honk.
But a friendly honk, not like a loud, punishing, you're about to hit me honk.
Correct. Just a friendly honk at the word across, not only for yourself, but the people behind you.
And then you have to wait before honking again.
You do. So it's not just a zoo out there of noise.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go next to Greg in McKinney. Hey, Greg.
Hi, how you doing?
Great, thank you.
Hello, Greg.
It sounds like a cool book. I look forward to looking it up. Especially maybe getting my son to do the Father's Day thing.
Perfect.
Well, outstanding.
I've got a logical reasoning as far as the ordering of the toilet paper.
Okay.
You know, if you have, and I assume when you're saying the toilet paper coming over the top, that it's closer to you than to the wall, is the way I'm picturing it in my mind. So, and that's the way I always set it up is where the roll is coming over the top, because if you have it where it's coming down the bottom and it's back closer to the wall, inevitably you're going to end up potentially scraping knuckles and other things trying to get at that paper unless it's set far enough away from the wall. So I've always hated that when I've been at other people's places and you go to grab the toilet paper and then you scrape your hand up against the wall as you're trying to grab some paper, or pull it down and you scrape your knuckles on the wall when you're pulling down.
Oh, All right. Well, that's another great perspective on the toilet paper issue. I'm sure we are not quite done with this one. We have an email here from Chris in Fort Worth who says, when in Texas, people tend to hold the door open for you. If you don't hold the door for a second or two and a person would get to the door in that time, it's considered rude. I always felt that for people who are mobility impaired, you should hold it for up to a minute. Other people say the 2-second rule applies. I don't want to be rude, but I also don't want to be that guy who holds the door for a while and lets out all the air conditioning. What's your rule on this?
That is a great comment on that. I personally think that it's important just to make the attempt. If you're holding the door for more than 10 seconds or so and no one is walking out, or if there's a long line of people, I think then you've more than done your job. But I think it's important, like with so many things in life, just to make the attempt to hold the door and not slam the door in someone's face.
You know, it's funny, though, for me, and I sort of like to hold the door for people as they're coming in. And when someone walks in without saying thank you, it just kind of ruins my day for like the next 15 minutes.
And that's in the book specifically as well, that you are required to say to say thank you. I think mm-hmm. I even go into greater detail about how many people are required to say thank you. If you hold the door for 5 people, the first and last person that go through the door are required to say thank you, and not every single person, but the civility on the other end as well.
Mm-hmm. We have an email here from Harold who writes, merging 2 lanes of traffic is something everyone on the road must do, and I feel no one does it correctly. I see cars jockeying for advantage instead of making the merge fluid for everyone. What is the right way?
Could you repeat that one again for
yes.
me again?
Okay, so you have 2 lanes of traffic merging.
Okay.
So how do we decide who goes when?
You know, I'd like to find out what the legal answer to that one is first.
It probably is a legal question.
I
yeah.
try not to step on any toes legally or otherwise with things such as driving and so on that. But isn't it the person on the right generally, or...?
We will we'll make that assumption, and until proven otherwise, perhaps that's correct. What about eye contact when crossing the street? And this is something that I guess comes back to the Walmart and the baby stroller and everything. Do you need to, as a pedestrian, do you need to make sure that somebody sees you before you step out into the street? Theoretically, cars have to brake for anybody that's in the roadway.
They do.
I shouldn't say theoretically. They do have to brake for anyone
in
the roadway.
And I've never quite understood this one. Why would you not want to make eye contact with the driver before you're driving it, mm-hmm. before you walk in front of a car? I don't care how much of a hurry that you're in, but between a person and a car, then you're
car
probably
wins.
Going to lose.
Yeah. 1-800-933-5372 is our number. We have Jonas on the line in Richardson. Hey, Jonas.
Hey. I hate to inject a slightly serious note, but you already had a question about pets,
mm-hmm.
And I found that people generally with pets and children really don't like to be told how to raise them. So I think that causes a lot of problems. And I'll preface the question by saying that as far as I know in my experience, pets here in Texas are considered basically property rather than animals with basic rights. So that said, I'm just wondering, yesterday we had a situation where our neighbor's dog got out and was run over, and I once again was the person who had to go out and pick the Chihuahua up off the street.
Oh, I'm sorry,
aww.
Jonas.
This has happened 3 times in less than 2 years now with this particular neighbor, and the first 2 were puppies. So my question is, and it's a little bit more serious, but how does a person remain civil with neighbors when you've got situations like that going on where there's nothing you can do legally about it, but the same thing keeps happening over and over again?
So you're saying, Bill, you feel inclined, you would like to tell your neighbor, look, you gotta make sure the dogs don't get out. Is that what you're saying?
Oh,
I'm sorry. Your name's not Bill. I apologize. Jonas. Yes, sorry,
no,
Jonas.
Well, I will say also that this particular neighbor, well, since I'm not saying who it is, this particular neighbor, I'll just say really, really not good neighbor, felon on parole, all kinds of other things going on at the property. So everybody kind of leaves them alone anyway. But it's kind of difficult to ignore, you know, really sweet dogs that are lying in the middle of the street dead.
Yeah, that almost sounds like a question for the authorities, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that certainly is not the norm. I don't think I ever recall of hearing of a neighbor or coworker that had someone that would intentionally run over a pet. I think that's terrible.
And I think it's a question of the the pets getting out because they're not restrained. But talk about this. I mean, that one, it is sort of a specific example. But there are times when people feel the need to correct someone's grammar or pronunciation of a word or just something relatively minor. Your point is always bring this up in the most civil way possible.
Absolutely. And I think that is important to bring things up, bring things to people's attention when they're not aware of it. But that can always be done in a way that would not hurt their feelings.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next on the phone to Angel in Rockwall. Hey, Angel.
Hi, how you doing?
Great, thank you.
Well, I had, you know, somebody called in about merging in the traffic. That's not my original question, but just real quick what I had to say about that was, you know, I think it's polite to merge into the lane as soon as you see the notification that it's merging, because some people just wait till the very last minute, which makes everybody behind them have to wait. And it would be a lot more fluid if everybody would just merge all together into one lane. That's all I had to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
But my original comment that I called in for was about something that bugs me. I always order my Redbox movies online, and I really hate having to wait for people that are browsing the kiosk and take up, you know, 15 minutes of my time when all I'm there to do is just pick up my movie.
Oh, now these are these boxes that are outside stores, and you can, like, rent a DVD from the box.
Correct.
Okay. Any thoughts about that?
You know, I like that. I like that a lot. And that is, I have never done that, actually, myself. I have not. I love my DVR. I watch it religiously. But I do like that. There should be some type of protocol, maybe, that when someone isn't observed in line behind you, maybe you just get you get 4 minutes to make your selection and move on, or you're done.
Mm-hmm. I suppose that also, it's sort of the same thing at the grocery store. If someone is behind me, and I have four kids, so there's a lot of groceries coming through our house. If I've got a big cart full of stuff, I'm usually inclined to let someone go ahead of me if they've got three things in their hands.
Sure. And, you know, I think that is a nice courtesy. I think in general we should all try to practice a little more courtesy in life with everything, whether it's shopping or dining out. I think that we should all show a little bit of courtesy, and I think that is a great one to practice.
Well said. We will come back to this conversation with Joshua Belter in a moment. His new book is called The Book of Rules, The Right Way to Do Everything. Join us in this conversation by calling 1-800-933-5372 or send email to think@kera.org.
Funding for Think comes from SMU's Master of Liberal Studies, a graduate education flexible enough to allow you to explore what matters most to you. More at smu.edu/MLS.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guest this hour is air traffic controller, singer, and author Joshua Belter. His new book is The Book of Rules, The Right Way to Do Everything. Join us at 1-800-933-5372. We have Sergio on the line now in Dallas. Hey, Sergio.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Firstly, I just want to say that I think a good rule of thumb is to err on the side of courtesy in most of these questions. At least that's what I think is best to do. But I do have that said. This is a more contentious debate here. In a household where there's typically a man and a woman, this is a debate that's kind of raged on. The toilet seat up or down debate. Now, I realize when I go to the bathroom, you know, I'm going to pick the toilet seat up. I'm expected then to put it back down afterward, or I receive, you know, a little bit of a reaming, I guess you could call it. Is that fair? And is that a good? Is that a pretty common debate that occurs in households? What do you think about that?
Well, as we discussed before the before we went on the air, Joshua's next iteration of this is relationship rules, and I suppose this is one place where the two practical considerations and relationships come together.
It is, and that one would be perfect, Sergio. Great comment. I think the consensus, because this had been discussed for the Book of Rules as well with the toilet seat, and I think the consensus generally is to leave it down for a number of reasons, sanitarily and otherwise. It looks a little nicer in the restroom as well. But I think that that certainly is something that should be addressed in the marriage section of the Book of Rules of Relationships that will be out at the beginning of next year. I think that would be a perfect fodder for that.
Maybe it needs to be in couples' prenups, too. You absolutely. Get that out of the way. Okay, we have an email here from Ravi who says, I seem not to be able to get over this stuff. My colleague slurps his coffee, drinks at his desk, and when in meetings, he does not. Ravi says, first of all, I hate the slurping, and to top it off, there is that dubious nature, that the sort of dual politeness in meetings and not at the
that manners are required in meetings and not around coworkers. Great question.
What do you do about, lots of people share offices now. You know, we're much closer together than we used to be. A lot of people don't have their own offices, and people slurp their food or they bring something that smells weird. What any thoughts on that?
I think that just goes back to politeness. And I think with anything, I think any comment like that could be done without hurting one's feelings.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number, or you can email think@kera.org. Let's go next to Todd in Arlington. Hey, Todd.
Hi, thank you. My peeve is I listen to talk radio all day, and when people call in, they don't make just one comment. They got five comments, and they don't get to the point, and they become the guest. And that was all I had to say. Thank you.
Well, thanks. That's one of our peeves, too,
so,
Todd.
So, Todd, do you have another comment for us before we move on?
He was on and off very quickly. Yes, the idea is to make one quick comment and sort of move the discussion forward. Just FYI.
Give everyone a chance. Yes, Todd, I like it.
Celia in Dallas writes, my pet peeve is people blocking the flow of walking traffic in undefined walkways, like walking in the door of a building and stopping, or exiting the jetway in an airport terminal and stopping, or stopping in the middle of a grocery store aisle, although no carts are involved.
That was actually addressed in two places, and obviously it could be addressed in others, but in the book it's specifically addressed in the entryway of a restaurant. And also in shopping as well, and stopping in the aisle, which we spoke about at the beginning of the hour today. So it was addressed in two places, but certainly it could be addressed in others.
So the idea is don't stop if there are people likely coming right up behind you.
Yes.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go to Bill in Dallas. Hey, Bill.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
A radical idea. If you encounter someone at random that you know nothing about, say you're walking down the sidewalk, like the lady who was running down the sidewalk and she was approached by a woman with two dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Way I like to look at a situation like that is if you have space and you encounter someone else who may enter your space, give it away. Don't think about who has the right of way. Give it away.
Hmm. So everybody should move.
That is to reduce stress and friction and tension in our environment, if everybody would do that.
Makes perfect sense to me. Any thoughts,
Joshua? I like
Joshua?
It. Well, and it, kind of thinking about this a little bit more, I think that since the runner is going at a greater speed, I think that maybe she should have just a little bit more of the right of way. But I do think that everybody should make a conscious effort to be courteous to others.
Let's talk about this. This is one that I imagine came out of life with your kids, but I could be wrong on this. There is a 60-second rule for reserving prime sofa seating space. So if you get up and you're back in less than a minute, your spot is still yours.
You're okay. Yeah. But if it's more than that, it's gone. And it was certainly with my children, I think more so in visiting with friends, with larger families and mm-hmm. less space, that literally have seen arguments develop about somebody getting up for a beverage from the refrigerator and the spot is gone. So I thought that setting a limit on that you've got 1 minute without a reservation and your spot is gone would be appropriate.
And if you are the driver of an automobile, you control all of the entertainment and everything on the dashboard except for dual air controls. Is that right?
Absolutely. And I know that everyone out there has seen arguments about somebody changing the station, whether it's in the passenger seat or the rear seat or adjusting the air conditioner controls, and has seen a little bit of a war going on with many of those things, and with more and more options, the GPS and everything, that it can be a little bit distracting for the driver, and I think that's important.
Calling shotgun, any thoughts on that?
Calling shotgun, well, I think whoever calls it first should get it.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. Let's go to Rick in Flower Mound. Hey, Rick.
Hi, Chris and Joshua. Thanks for the show.
Hello there.
Hey, I had a comment about merging traffic from two lanes into one.
Yes.
I've always found that it goes much faster if cars alternate one after the other. It works just like a zipper. And then if everybody knows what they're doing, and often people do, it's a very cooperative and a very fast way to move.
Sounds so very simple, doesn't it?
You know, that's the third call we've had on that. I really like that one with the taking turns. And that is so important around here with all the construction in the Dallas-Fort Worth area right now. I'm lucky enough that on the Fort Worth side, we don't have the tollways.
Yeah.
And you've got all the construction on the Dallas side of town in addition to the tollways as well. So it's easy to see how this is an important part of people's life with the driving.
We have an email here from Chris who writes, "One of my pet peeves on the road is lack of blinker use. Using your blinker in traffic is the equivalent of saying, 'excuse me,' when stepping in front of someone or otherwise encroaching on someone's personal space. More importantly, driving is a communicative process. It's necessary to broadcast your intentions on the road so that people around you may alter their driving strategy accordingly." Chris, I agree with you. And in fact, I will go one further that it makes me crazy when you pull up and there are cars in the left lane and the right lane and you're stopped. And the person at the front of that left lane has not indicated that he or she plans to turn left and therefore
Absolutely.
Hold up that lane. That's my number one pet peeve.
That was one of my son's favorite when we were talking about the early stages of this book, that it was so frustrating not to tell everyone around you what you intend to do, because it is so much work to move your left hand 4 inches. That's just too much work for me.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. I got another call here from David in Alito about the merge issue. What's your take, David?
Hi. This is a great subject. By the way, I love the title of your book, Josh, because I've been wanting to write this for a long time.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I have some competition then?
Maybe for part two. I don't know.
Okay.
I just think there is a right way to do most things. And, you know, logically, that's my philosophy. There usually is an answer somewhere, and I appreciate you guys bringing this up. Oftentimes, you see a yellow sign that will have two merging black lines, and usually one of those is a thick black line, one is a thin black line.
Mm-hmm.
The thick black line has right-of-way.
Oh.
You would learn to observe that. Here's the larger problem, and you guys have been addressing it in a lot of the other things with the supermarket and the lines and people standing. We're living in a society that is not a polite society. People who, for instance, are coming off of a merging ramp onto an interstate freeway oftentimes approach that as if there was no one else on the road. And they absolutely don't wait for anybody. I was really mistreated one day whenever I was in my lane. I had every right to it, and I couldn't change.
Hmm.
So, you know, the guy expressed a lot of aggression towards me about that. But I have had people then on the other side, when I am on the merging ramp, I'm perfectly willing to wait for an opening because it says yield. And I read English. I know what that means.
Well, what do you think about the idea, Joshua? Are we living in a society where we're not very polite and we don't really care much about other people?
You know, I think that it has changed over the last 10 or 20 years. I don't think that it couldn't go back to that again. I think the important part is that we talk about it. It's a great call. You know, certainly when you're driving, two or three aggressive drivers can slow down everyone,
mm-hmm.
specifically when there's construction or bottlenecks in traffic out there, that you've got two or three aggressive drivers out there, they make life miserable for everybody. The taking turns aspect of that, I think, is wonderful. And I think the important the important part of all of this is just to have a discussion about it.
I can't believe that electronic technology has not really come up so far in this hour. It's hard to imagine, but one of your rules is no cell phones at the table ever. And if one must compose an electronic message after drinking alcoholic beverages, one must never press send until sobering up.
Correct.
I think lots of people would love to go back in time and be able to sort of get that email back.
Absolutely.
I think
we've all been guilty of that at one time or another in our lives. But back to the children again, you're so true about that. I think I'm going to have to address the digital portion of that. You had a great guest on a week or two ago, Raising Children in the Digital Age, about talking about how different it is raising children today than it was just 5 or 10 years ago. And the rules have to change, too.
Mm-hmm.
Where 15, 20 years ago, when my children were younger, it was easy to keep the computer out of the bedroom.
Right, because nobody had more than one, ever.
Correct.
Yeah.
And now everyone has a computer attached to their hip.
Mm-hmm.
And the rules have completely changed for parenting and for children. And I think those are certainly issues that need to be addressed in updates to the book.
1-800-933-5372 is our number. We have an email here from Francis who wants to know, what is a house guest that spends the night supposed to do with the towels used, and how do you leave the bed? Made, unmade, but pulled together, or stripped?
There is an entire chapter dedicated to house guests in the new book. As far as the bed, I would have to think about that. I think my personal preference would be to have the bed stripped.
Mm-hmm.
So the sheets and blankets could be washed easily. But I think I would have to get to the regular Tory board and get get some more consensus on that before I make a decision one way or the other.
Did you leave your mom as, you know, before your literary editor, was your mom your final editor of all this?
The primary editor for my book was my best friend and lead singer with Fast Time Constant, Andy Mason, in Port Dallas, New Mexico, who is also on the regulatory board. We shot many, many ideas back and forth, and he was really instrumental on making this a legible, readable book.
Are there people that you have come across in your life that you think, I would like to email them or mail them an anonymous copy of this and hope that they read it? I mean, was that in the back of your mind ever?
Absolutely. one of the great things about the book is there's discrepancy forms in the back of the book, and I'm hoping that they get used, because
mm-hmm.
basically it's a speeding ticket for putting the toilet paper on wrong, and it's a great way to lightheartedly make light of somebody doing something that is inappropriate in kind of a humorous way. So I think that's a way that anyone that has a copy of the book can acknowledge something that someone else has done in a humorous way without embarrassing them in front of others.
We just have a few seconds left, and it's good because this would open a whole other can of worms. But when storing glasses in the cabinet, you say lip down instead of lip up.
I do say lip down, because if a cup is stored in the cabinet for more than a month or two, it is going to collect dust and other nasties that would be consumed when a beverage is poured. So that is why the lid down is that way.
There you have it. Joshua Belter is author of The Book of Rules, The Right Way to Do Everything. Joshua, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Today's show was engineered by Shelley Canavy. Joe Bilotti answers the phones. Christine McConnell produces the podcast. Jeff Whittington is senior producer. Learn more about Think, find out about upcoming programs, and download the daily podcast. It's free at kera.org/think. If you've got comments, questions, or suggestions for us, pass those along at think@kera.org. Once again, I'm Chris Boyd. Thanks for listening and have a great day.